Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Okay, that's the way it goes, okay? Ready? Give it a shot. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And it, both phrases go, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's not mighty, it's Lord God Almighty. And then we do it twice, and we're through. Then the next one, let's, you know, that you got the basic idea of that. The next one then is the statement of faith, simply called, or the creed. And we'll do, how's that? Yeah, the refrain, and then refrain, stanza one, refrain, and so on, and it ends as it indicates with that, I guess. So how about if we just go through the refrain once, the first stanza, and then the refrain, and then sort of get the idea, okay? Okay?
I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it, truly I believe it, truly I believe it. I believe, I do believe, I truly I believe it, truly I believe it, truly I believe it. I believe in God the Almighty, Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator. I believe in God the Almighty, Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator.
Simple, but it's kind of fun. All right, isn't that simple?
Good for mouth exercises.
Okay, then let's go on to the Lord's Prayer. And we need to divide you into two different groups. The first group and the second group. It's amazing how two divide that way. But the first, there'll be, as you indicate, or it's indicated on here, just simply an echo. So the second group just basically echoes what the first group sings, and just comes in on the, we'll show you. It goes, Lord God of power and, Lord God of power and, hallowed be your, hallowed be your. You know, I wasn't finishing the phrase, but I hope you understand. Okay, so whoever, how can we do this and get a first group? Bill, you're going to lead the first group, okay? Well, how about this group over here? It's going to be the second group. Will
you do that? The echo group? Okay. We'll
echo. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. One and a two. Lord God of power and fame.
Lord God of power and fame.
Hallowed
be your name. Humbly your will be done. Until the kingdom came, the living depend on you, forgiven and forgiving too. Lord God of power and fame, hallowed be your name. Glory to you, O Lord, holy forevermore.
Forgiving to you, O Lord, holy forevermore.
hard to break the Lord's Prayer in the middle, so I thought we'd go through the whole thing. The last one, the music is printed on your order of worship. And we'll begin with the basses. This is the African song Wimowa, the music for Wimowa, if you're familiar with that. And the basses will start this thing. And then Bill is probably going to have to play the different parts, and then the different parts just kind of come in and wail on it, however you want to do it. The difficulty is knowing when to quit, so we'll just stop, and if you're still singing, that's okay. But it just gets to be a fun way of closing a service. So the basses go over.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Difficult part, Ben.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ready?
Thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you,
thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you, thank you,
thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you, thank you,
thank you,
thank you,
thank you,
thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you,
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord Jesus,
Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you,
thank
Jesus,
you, Lord
we
Jesus,
you, Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus.
Get the idea, okay? Just kind of take any one of those five parts as we go and change or switch or whatever as we move along. Good. I think I'm going to hire you folks as our choir, I think.
Do we have all the rhythm instruments out?
We've got some instruments here, that additional instruments that came from PLU and sort of fit in with the whole program. So, once again, please be relative to the copies of the program or the order of service, if you'd make sure that you hang on to them or else leave them here, whatever, as you leave, so that we can have more for tomorrow morning. I think we can begin.
Do it.
Let's begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Blessed are the ones who have experienced what you have. Many wise and powerful people would like to know what you know and never will.
But what do we need to do with this blessing?
What is written in the Torah? What do you see there?
Love God with your body, mind, and heart, and respect yourself enough so that you can love others as well.
It's as simple as that. Do it and you will live. Let us pray together. The first one.
Eternal Lord, God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it so that we become instruments of your redeeming love through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at verse 38. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And many demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Sing Hosanna in the highest to the Holy Lord. Sing Hosanna in the highest to the Holy Lord. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
When we look at the miracle of Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law and compare that in Luke's account with the other accounts in Matthew and Mark, there is a small but very significant difference. In Luke's account, he uses the word rebuke. He rebukes the fever. But in Mark's account, he simply takes her by the hand and raises her up. And in Matthew's account, he simply touches her hand. Now, we know, of course, that what Luke is doing is helping us see the connection between the incident which took place just before that, which was the healing of the man in the synagogue, the casting out of the demon, where Jesus rebukes the demon, and the incident which immediately follows, where the people are brought to him at sunset, and the demons cry out, and he rebukes the demons and tells them to be quiet. Now, Luke has changed the word. And I think that he has inadvertently, or maybe on purpose, given us a clue about what healing ministry is all about. I think that there is a balance, if we look at these accounts, the balance between rebuke and touch, the balance between tenderness and the balance between tenderness and strength, between intimacy and distance. Now, we know that touch has a medicinal quality to it, whether that's from massaging tense muscles at the end of a day or whether that is working with atrophied limbs so that they can begin to move again, or whether, as in this case, it is actually touching a fevered brow and bringing soothing, healing relief. And we know that healing, or touching in healing, somehow speaks to the body in a special way, and it also speaks to the soul of the person, saying, "I'm here, I'm with you in it." And it may be, as in perhaps this case, where this fever of Peter's mother-in-law seems to have a demonic overtone to it, that there is this reaching across the barrier to say, "I am really here with you in your troubled and confused place." As Paul Hansen has led us yesterday to see the fragmentation of our society, we might consider that touch, or what it means, be an aspect of whatever model that we develop and look at. That of, instead of fragmentation, drawing close to each other in a almost kind of physical way, and many times very physical way. John Naisbitt, as many of you know, in Megatrends, has said that our society is, and it will continue to be, not only a society of high tech, but especially because it is a society of high tech, in tandem with that, it will have to be a society of high touch. But Luke uses the word rebuke. He rebukes the fever within her. Rebuke is a strong word, a word of saying to the evil, saying to the demonic, thus far and no further. It is a word of saying, here are the limitations. It is a word of putting something in its place. When we look then at that word and we see that it is a word of power, we are reminded of what Phyllis held before us last night in that diagram of power. And if we were to trace that diagram, we would see that, yes, here, there is a kind of authority that the demons recognize because they recognize it and they trust that this authority is going to harm them in some way. Here is authority. Here is power. How often in ministry don't we need that word of authority or rebuke for ourselves or for someone else when we listen to the problem or work with another person with their problem, and we articulate the problem, but we articulate the problem over and over again. Now, it's one thing to articulate the problem. It's quite another thing to dwell on that problem and feed upon that problem so that we never move anywhere with it. At that point, it is that we need a word of rebuke. This is the limit. This is the structure. This is where we're going to put that problem. And we're going to keep it within those boundaries. But it is the balance between the two, which I think is the real key, between rebuke and touch. If it's all touch in ministry, without that sense of limitation, of knowing where the boundaries are, it becomes a kind of voyeurism, doesn't it? Of getting close, a false kind of intimacy of using the other person. On the other hand, if it is all rebuke and very little touch, then it is drawing up the boundaries hard and high and limiting the person and putting them in that box and saying, there you are. We have defined your problem and you stay in it alone. But I think as Luke gives us this account, he has Jesus doing both, reaching out and touching and rebuking in the same action. I wonder if perhaps that isn't the guideline for healing ministry and what it's all about. Let me close with a story which originated with Garrison Keillor. It has to do with one of the Tollefson wives. I don't know which one it was. I think it was Arlene. Arlene has a dream one night, and she is dreaming that she's in church. And the people have all gathered, but Pastor Inkvist is not to be found, and nobody of any sort of authority is to be found. Oh, they know where they are. They can hear them. They're downstairs with the children singing their songs, Ti-yi-yippee-i-o, yippee-i-o. And as the congregation listens to that for a while, they begin to get uncomfortable with and uneasy with the situation. Arlene, in her dream, gets up, and she begins to move among the congregation. She knows them all by name, and she walks up to each one of them individually and touches them. And there is a sense of peace that comes to them. And as she moves through the congregation, she touches each one of them. And when she is done, she wakes up. She's laying there in her bed in the middle of the night, and she wonders, what did that dream mean? What was that all about? And then her husband begins to moan and groan in his sleep next to her. And she listens to him for just a moment. And then she reaches over and touches him. And he quiets and falls into a peaceful slumber. And she relaxes and goes to sleep herself. Amen.
I believe it. Truly I believe it, truly I believe it. I believe in God the Almighty, Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator,
mighty Lord Creator.
I believe in God the Almighty, Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator,
mighty Lord Creator.
I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it.
I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it,
truly I believe it. I believe in Jesus, the Savior of the people, Savior of the people,
Savior of the people.
I believe in Jesus, the Savior of the people, Savior of the people,
Savior of the people.
I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it,
truly I believe it. I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it,
truly I believe it. I may do believe in the power of the Spirit,
power of the Spirit,
power of the Spirit. And I do believe in the power of the Spirit,
power of the Spirit,
power of the Spirit. I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it,
truly I believe it. I believe, I do believe, truly I believe it,
truly I believe it,
truly I believe it.
Let us stand for prayer. Creator God, whose hand has shapen and formed us, whose abiding presence brings breath and life, whose touch heals and restores us, speak to us this day. Rebuke our diseases, the fevers of greed, the demonic of selfishness. Limit our terrors, the threats of enemies, the apathy of acquaintances, and the complacency of our own hearts. Speak your word of power. Touch us with your presence, that we might be raised to life and service. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Until the kingdom come.
Until the
thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you,
thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you,
praise you, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Christ our Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Then Jesus said to them, "The words which I have spoken to you confirm everything written about me in the Psalms, the Law, and the Prophets. You have experienced all these things. Soon I will send you the promised Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Serve the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
guess they just finished matins up in the the hotel. Is that what the place they call the place that you eat? So, wondering if you would like to just rehearse a little bit, and then we'll start probably at about between 25 to and 20 minutes to for the actual order. But we can rehearse and just get to know it a little bit better if you want to do that. By the way, if any of you are interested in this particular thing, I have some, I hope they're not illegal, I made some copies of the brochure that comes from John Ilvesacher. He's got four different services. This particular music that we're using here comes from his Epiphany service, and now he has four that he's published: Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost, I think they are. And so they're available, and I have some brochures if you're interested in getting some of that music, so just let me know. Let's try the first one, Holy, Holy. And again, we'll just do the one stanza followed by the
Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, glory fills the earth. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Sing, Lord God. The Almighty Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator, mighty Lord Creator. I believe in God, the Almighty Lord Creator.
Just to remember how that goes, we're going to go a couple more minutes before we start.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Christ our Lord.
Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Blessed are the ones who have experienced what you have. Many wise and powerful people would like to know what you know and never will.
What do you need to do with this blessing?
What is written in the Torah? What do you see there?
Love God with your body, mind, and heart, and respect yourself enough so that you can love others as well.
It's as simple as that. Do it and you will live. Let us pray. God of love, you know our frailties and failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The reading this day comes from the 6th chapter of St. Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went into a synagogue and taught. A man was there whose right hand was paralyzed. Some teachers of the law and some Pharisees wanted a reason to accuse Jesus of doing wrong, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to the man, "Stand up and come here to the front." So the man got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, what does our law allow us to do on the Sabbath? To help or to harm? To save a person's life or destroy it?" He looked around at them all. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand became well again. They were filled with rage and began to discuss among themselves what they could do to Jesus. From the Talmud. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi came upon Elijah the prophet, and he asked Elijah, "When will the Messiah come?" Elijah replied, "Go and ask yourself, where can I go find the Messiah?" "Sitting at the gates of the city," said Elijah. "How shall I know the Messiah?" The Messiah will be sitting among the poor and will be covered with wounds. The others will unbind all their wounds all at once and bind them up again. But the Messiah will unbind each wound one at a time and bind it up again. And he will say to you, "Perhaps I will be needed, and if so, I must always be prepared as not to delay for a moment." The Messiah, the story tells us, is sitting among the poor at the gates of the city, binding each wound one at a time, waiting for the moment when there is need. And so it is, too, with church workers. Since it is our job to make visible the healing for others, We must bind and unbind our wounds carefully in anticipation of the moment when we will be needed. We are called, as Henry Nouwen says, to be the wounded healers, the ones who must attempt to look after our own wounds, but to also care for the wounds of others, to heal the wounds through grace within community. The Talmud suggests that because the Messiah binds one wound at a time, the Messiah would not have to take time to prepare if asked to help someone else. Rather, the Messiah is always ready. And the like. Those of us who share in that body of the Messiah proclaim the grace, which not only empowers us to care for our own wounds and the wounds of others, but also to make his wounds into a major source of power, healing power, within the Christian community. Every day, a variety of people enter the doors of Gethsemane Lutheran Church in downtown Seattle. People who reveal different types of behaviors, people who have their own version of style, yet in a very dramatic way show the condition, I think, of the modern human being. They are all in search of healing. They enter the doors of a Lutheran community hoping to find at least a Band-Aid, if not a cure, to their aches and their pains and their wounds. They come to ask for help, but at the same time, they offer a new understanding of my own world. Last week, our office manager came to me and said, "Pastor, there are a couple of folks out in the hall. One of them has just had an afterlife experience, and the other one's a born-again Christian. It's like old home week out there." Community? Yes, indeed. Two old men brought together, sharing grace with each other in community. I do not share this story with you to show you how different folks in Seattle can be. But rather, I think that what I've told is in so many ways typical of modern men and women. We are all in search of healing. We includes all of us who work in the church, who live with daily wounds inflicted by our parishioners, by our colleagues in ministry, by ourselves. We know the words such as alienation, rejection, isolation, loneliness, and we too are in need of communal healing, where grace abounds. Our text this morning reminds us that some parts of Judaism had turned into legalism, that some of the Pharisees were such opportunistic individuals and so much into self-piety that they had no conception of the healing power of Jesus Christ through relationship. The point of the story, I don't think, is not that the Sabbath law was broken, but that Christ went past the legalism of the institution and shared grace through relationship. The Messiah and the man with the paralyzed hand, two people coming together, sharing in the healing power of grace. And so, I think grace means making whole fractured community. Part of my call at Gethsemane Lutheran has been to work in the area of evangelism. So, being new, I go and read everything I can on the topic. And I've been doing some reading of Lyle Schaller's. Now, Lyle Schaller and a lot of folks out there seem to have many explanations as to why the Lutheran Church is losing members. Yet I think we offer one of the hottest items for the wounded world, a word and sacrament theology, a theology that hosts healing within fractured community. Martin Luther not only understood the importance of healing, but understood that grace only happens where there is relationship. Grace is not just God. It is not just human being. It is the encounter of the two, each giving of self and opening up to the other. If grace is relationship, then it can always be lost. For the other to whom we are related is always free to end it. Emphasizing grace as relationship makes us conscious of our radical dependence upon God. We need to affirm our sacramental understanding of grace. As Lutherans, we offer the relationship or community through word and sacrament, through communal worship. As church workers, we have the best cure of all for a wounded world. All of us who share in the common search for healing, just as those who pass through our offices during the week and fill our pews on Sunday, need communal grace. When we become aware that we do not have to escape our pains, but that we can mobilize them into a common search for life, those very pains are transformed from expressions of despair into rays of hope. Community creates unity, and it is based on the shared confession of our brokenness and shared hope. This hope, in turn, leads us far beyond the boundaries of human togetherness to Him who calls His people away from the land of slavery into the land of freedom, from legalism into grace, from opportunistic individualism into community. Christian community is healing community. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went to the gates of the city and saw a man leaning against a wall, binding and unbinding each wound one at a time. So the rabbi went up to this man and asked, "When is the Messiah coming?" "Today," he answered. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi went back to Elijah, and Elijah asked how it went. And the rabbi said, "I was deceived, for I was told that the Messiah is coming, and that the Messiah has yet come. But the Messiah is not here." Elijah said, "No, this is what the Messiah told you. Today the Messiah has come. If you would only listen."
Savior of the people, Savior of the people, Savior of the people, Savior of the people. come, power of the Spirit, power of the Spirit, power of the Spirit.
Gracious healer, we gather this morning to sing your praise and to hear your word and to be inspired by those you have sent. Thank you for this time and help us all to find healing here through the community of relationships, through our brothers and sisters, through the support. And we ask that you continue to bless all of us. Empower us to be wounded healers.
Lord God of power and
Jesus, we bless you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, we bless you.
Then Jesus said to them, "The words which I have spoken to you confirm everything written about me in the Psalms, the Law, and the Prophets. You have experienced all these things. Soon I will send you the promised Holy Spirit. Go in peace, serve the Lord."
Thanks be to God.